Happy Sabbath, brethren. Again, thank you everyone for sharing your words, the scripture readings, and thank you for those of you, even when you were quiet, you were praying in your hearts, praising Elohim in your hearts and in your minds. We're all doing something to honor our Elohim. And it's always wonderful, as I said, when the time of scripture reading comes, this is the time everyone can share, pour our hearts before the eternal through the Psalms, through the prophets, through the reading of the law, through reading scriptures from the new covenant, through reading the scriptures, just sharing the bread of life with everyone. Okay, so brethren, we will continue where we left off in the book of Acts chapter 21. We will proceed with verse 14, but just a brief recap.
Brother Jackson, are we recording?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, so thank you, brother. So we will be going through continuing verse 14, but a quick recap from verses 1 to 14. Real brief is what we saw. We saw the love and commitment and an immense amount of devotion of the brethren to each other in spirit and in the love of Elohim, our Creator. We saw how Paul was intent on going to Jerusalem in the spirit, but yet the brethren, who were also informed by the spirit of the dangers that awaited Paul of being captured and bound, out of their love for him, they were really trying to prevent him from going. But he insisted. He said he had to go to Jerusalem. He was willing to accept whatever would befall him there. And we know he wanted to go to Jerusalem to keep the feast. Initially, the main purpose was to keep the feast of Pentecost, right? That's why he was going. And whatever might come thereafter. So that immediately tells us of the season, the time of the season. It was towards the end of spring, towards the summer season, when all of this was about to happen to Paul. So we saw how when he insisted on not going, as we saw in verse 11, he says, when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt. That's the prophet Agabus that came all the way from Jerusalem, as we saw in verse 10 of chapter 28. He came all the way from Jerusalem to encourage Paul not to go. He says, or at least to alert people what was going to happen to Paul. So when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, so shall the Jews, the Yehudim at Jerusalem, bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, the nations. And when we heard these things, verse 12, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul said, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name, for the esteem, for the honor, for the authority of the sovereign Yeshua, for the supreme Yeshua, the supreme Savior. Verse 14, so when he would not be persuaded, when he would not be convinced, we ceased. We stopped and we said, the will of the eternal be done. The will of the sovereign be done. So they held their peace, as we mentioned. They were not contentious with Paul. They were not saying, well, okay, you'll see, whatever happens to you, that's on you. They did not have that attitude. They held their peace. They said the will of the eternal being done. And they continued to love their brother Paul. Because they meant it. The will of the eternal be done. They were not stuck in their own opinions. They delivered the whole matter into the hands of the eternal. Of course, hoping for the best for Paul, whatever happens. So let's continue. So this whole portion of the scriptures, as I said, from verse 1 to 14 of Acts chapter 1 showed us the love, the commitment, the devotion of the brethren to each other in the spirit, and the love of Elohim committing to the will of the Eternal when they don't understand. You see, they didn't fully understand here because they knew Paul was heading to danger, but Paul wanted to go. But through it all, through the Spirit, despite the lack of their human ability to understand, and the Spirit not divulging anything more, not revealing anything more than what the Spirit has told them, they said, okay, let the will of Elohim be done. So let's continue with verse 15. So let me read it to where it makes sense to stop. So verse 15 of chapter 21 says, "And after those days we packed and went up to Jerusalem, and some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James," that's to Jacob or James, "and all the elders were present. When we had greeted them, he told in detail those things which Elohim had done among the Gentiles through his ministry," through his service, through his work. Verse 20, "And when they heard it, they glorified the Supreme. And they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews, Yehudim, there are who have believed, and they are zealous for the law, for the Torah, for the instruction.'" Verse 21, "But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the nations to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs." Verse 22, "What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself walk orderly and keep the Torah, keep the law, keep the instructions." Verse 25, "But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality." So let's go back and review. Verse 15 shows us that, okay, so they were in a foreign land. We know the prophet Agabus came to them from Jerusalem to them. And we know at this point, what we've read in up to verse 14, they were in the land of the Ephesians. That's where they were. But now they're packed up and they went to Jerusalem. So we're told, why did they not say they went to Jerusalem? It's hints, little things like to always remember to be prepared. So we packed. They took their necessity. They did not just get up and go. They made sure they had everything they needed because their body and soul, right? They're not just soul, or they're not just soul and body with the Spirit. Their body and soul guided by the Spirit, more and more by the Spirit of Elohim than the spirit of man that man builds. But they pack. So that's telling us, whatever we're doing, let's not think, okay, we're serving Elohim, so we don't need to make any preparation. No, you need to prepare. You need to do your due diligence to make sure you have what you need to do what you need to do. And whatever you can't do, Elohim will cover for you. So keep that in mind. So they pack and went to Jerusalem. 16, "And some of the disciples went from Caesarea and went with us and brought Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge." So they had this arranged. They had a seasoned, not just a novice, but a seasoned disciple by name of Mnason of Cyprus. And this faithful apostle Paul and the others with them that made their journey from Ephesians were to lodge there. Not to any old place, not at some hotel, not at some pagan place. No, with a brother, a seasoned brother. So keep that in mind. When we go from place where ministering, we have to serve, we have to do something, have the right preparations, take what you need, make sure your destination is in a place conducive to what you need to do. So they went to the house of a seasoned and early disciple and lodged with him. Verse 17, and when they came to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And when they came to Jerusalem, you know, it says gladly, they were received, they were welcome from the Gentile nations. They were not concerned, oh, what terrible traditions are they bringing or what new thing. No, their mind were set. We're glad to receive our brethren in whom the Spirit of Elohim is changing into his own image. So they were glad, because that's the key thing in receiving brethren, is remembering that these, no matter where they are in their walk, some might be like Paul, some might be like, I don't know, somebody who doesn't even know his left hand from his right hand, doesn't even know one commandment, but loves Elohim, is coming into the faith. But what's the key thing? They love Elohim, seeking to be obedient, and the Spirit of Elohim is working to shape them into the image of Elohim, which image is the Messiah, which is Yeshua, the Savior. So when we have that mindset, we could receive our brethren gladly. We're not concerned and prejudiced about what they know, what they don't know. We're concerned knowing these are people who love Elohim and love others, that Elohim will shape into his image in his time, right? So we can receive others gladly. Verse 18, and on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. The following day, we need to manage ourselves. We don't just run from one situation to another and wear ourselves out. Sometimes people don't know how to rest. You know, they just arrive and they want to run to do this. No. You arrive, you had a long trip, you rest. Take time to meditate. Take time to assess your change or new environment. The brethren that you're in, be at peace. Calm down. Don't rush from one thing to another. Don't rush from here to there, and then we start messing up. Even Yeshua, as busy as he was, and as he expected his disciples to do so much, there was a time he drew them away and said, come, there's been lots of going in, coming in, and coming out. Come and rest. And he took them to a deserted place with intent that people, a place where it was less likely for them to be found. But we know what happened. The people were so intent, they found them anyway. But Yeshua wanted to give his disciples a break. So we need to learn to remember that to give ourselves a break when we're serving, so we can take time to take a look at what it is we are doing. Don't rush from place to place and jump into one thing to another. Okay? We need to take time. Okay, I've just done this. Let me take a breather. Let me do what it needs to recoup so I could function and do really my best and not be confused. So it says in the verse 18, when they arrived, they were received gladly, and the following day Paul went in with us to Jacob, that is James, and to the elders, and all the elders were present, right? And when we had greeted them, they didn't just walk in, they greeted each other. Shalom, hello, salutation, peace, whatever, you know, way to express, and they greeted them. And then he told them in detail those things which Elohim had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When we have sharing times, when we come like this on Sabbath and the other holy days, it is the time for us to share. Like, this is why we have like the testimony time, because we've come together after a long week. So we allow for time during testimony time to share with the brethren. Okay, how was your week? Remember, life has ups and downs. And we, as I believe somewhere in First Colossians or Ephesians somewhere, one of the epistles, it says, we share in all things, in each other's honor and in dishonor, when we're doing good and when we're doing bad. So testimony time is not a time for us to gripe and complain, but it's also a time to share some of the challenges you face and how you're and how Elohim helped you and is helping you through these challenges. It's also a time to speak about the joys and victories that you have. In other words, it's a time for the brethren to share. What did Elohim do for you? What did you do with Elohim this week? It could have been how you interacted with a person at work, or a family member, or a particular scripture you read, or a particular memory, something edifying. So we see, so they greeted, and he told in detail those things which Elohim had done among the Gentiles through his ministry, through his work. What has Elohim done for you? When we get together, just as we read, we have an open time where all share the scriptures, as you all did such a wonderful job today, reading the scriptures, praising Elohim, and various things. That's good. But in the sharing time, be ready. Don't be afraid. Don't force it. That's one thing. We don't want to force it. But at the same time, if something comes to mind that happened this during the course of the week, or a memory or something that you believe can edify. Remember, our gathering together is to edify, to encourage, to build up each other. If there's anything you can share during the testimony time to build each other up, that's a good time. So he shared with them what happened. So in verse 20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Eternal. When they heard everything, all those things that we've read about before that Paul did with the others, and those who were hearing praised Elohim, they glorified the Supreme, the Kurios. And they said to him, you see, brother. And they said, and respond. So also there's a response. You see that they didn't just hear and sit quiet, but there was a response. They heard what Paul said, and they responded to him. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Yehudim there are who have believed, and they are zealous for the Torah. See, there's a lot of Jews that do believe here in Jerusalem, and they are zealous for the law, for the instructions of Elohim. But this is the concern. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor to walk according to the customs. Okay, so there, as we're reading, there are two groups of people here. As I said, the congregations of Elohim always consisted of two groups of people. Since Abraham, there was no such thing. From Jacob and before, there was no such thing as a Jew or as an Israelite. We know that. Israelites came after Jacob, right? So prior to that, they were just the Gentiles, the people of Elohim. Then Elohim took a Gentile by the name of Jacob, who was a descendant of Abraham, the grandchild of Abraham, and he called that Gentile, changed him into an Israelite. He says, you I will call Israel. And that's how we got Israel. Israel is not naturally born. Israel is by Elohim. And all Israel, the true Israel, is always by Elohim. So that's how we got. So, but the point is, and from that point on, we had Gentiles and Israelites as and the righteous among them were his congregation. Since it's always been. And even to this point. So here the discussion is about what the Israelites are to do and what the Gentiles are to do. So here the problem is not so much with what they believe Paul was teaching the Gentiles, it's what they believe, what they were lied to, being told that Paul was telling the Jews. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews, all the Yehudim, who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. And that was a lie. That was not true. We got to remember that. Paul was teaching no such thing. But rather his teachings were twisted because he would say things like circumcision and uncircumcision is nothing, but it's the circumcision of the heart, the pure heart that really matters. He wasn't saying that you shouldn't. He's just showing the true value, where the true value comes. But people would take that and twist it and make it and report and misrepresent his teachings as if he's saying you shouldn't be circumcised, just as they misrepresented our Messiah, who said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it. Speaking of his own body, the Messiah was speaking of his own body, but then the liars, the false, when they were accusing Messiah, said, oh, he said he's going to destroy the temple, the bait, and in 3 days build it up again. So they twisted his words and lied. So they did the same thing to Paul. So here, the brethren are gathering for clarity. They're not gathering to argue, to point the finger. Notice the goal is, what then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. They want to solve, get clarity. When we have the mind of getting clarity, there's no spirit of division. Because our mind, the mind, that's not what the mind, that's what, not what the spirit is here. The spirit is here, let's make things clear so the unity could even be that much stronger. Okay, so what then? The brethren ask. What then? They ask the question and they give the answer. The assembly must certainly meet, must certainly unite, must certainly come together. The congregation must certainly come together. I don't know, I didn't check the word of this word is congregation or synagogue in the Greek. I don't know if it's ecclesia or synagogue. I didn't look it up, but if one of you, while I'm teaching, can look up this word in Acts chapter 21, verse 22, see what it is. This word, what then? The assembly must come together. This word assembly, is it ecclesia or is it synagogue or some or a third word? We could find out. You could share that later, but let's continue. So it says, the assembly must come together. Not should, but must. You see, the unity must. We mustn't allow it to split. This was a potential to split the body. But he says, no, that must not be allowed. The assembly must meet, come together. For they will hear that you have come. They will certainly assemble. So verse 23, therefore do what we tell you. These were the elders. These are the people who drafted the letters. This is the congregation of Elohim in Jerusalem. The elders that are led by the Spirit of Elohim. The Spirit already told them what to do. This is not their opinion. This is not their crafty design or excuse. It is the Spirit of Elohim working in them and with Paul to solve the problem. So he says, we have four men. Therefore, do what we tell you. Therefore, do what we tell you. And Paul was in agreement. Paul pride did not kick in. And who are you that I should do what you tell me? No. He was of the spirit of peace and bond. And he was ready to solve the problem. Not exacerbate, not create more problems. We need to solve the problems. So we have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them and pay their expenses so that they shave their heads, that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing. Not only false, but don't even exist. It's not even a reality. It's nothing. That you yourselves also walk orderly and keep the Torah, so that they may know that you, Paul, you walk in the halakha, you walk properly, and you keep the Torah, so they may know this, because you are a Yehudim, you are a Jew. So that they may know, again, considering you, that those things they were informed don't exist. When it says nothing, that's what that means. Don't exist. It's not even something to consider. It doesn't exist. It's not even false. It just doesn't exist. That you yourself walk orderly and keep the Torah. Verse 25 to end this portion. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Okay? Now, we must not forget that this portion was in the early portion. We have to remember the full account. The full account says that they wrote this letter to the Gentile congregations, that they don't need to be concerned about those what things? The accusations or the requirements of the false brethren that crept in and said, oh, unless they're circumcised and keep the customs, they cannot be saved. That's what that letter was about. So we have to remember the full context and revisit that. And that they said, for Moses, as far as them learning Moses, they would learn Moses. Why? Because Moses is preached in every Sabbath day. So they would get to learn those things. So the goal was not to bar the Gentiles, saying, do all of this first before you could come in. Rather, it's, no, let them come in. Don't hinder the nations that are believing. Let them come in, for when they meet on the Sabbath, they will hear the instructions. They will hear it and come to know. And they will hear the instructions from the apostolic new covenant perspective, so they may know what pertains to them and what does not pertain to them. Because they were already keeping the Sabbath. We saw this. So the Gentiles were already, that were coming, were already Sabbath keepers. That's not even a question. We've seen that as we've read verse after verse from Acts chapter, from the earliest parts of Acts to where we are today, that they went to the synagogue and there were both Jews and Gentiles in the synagogues on the Sabbath days. We saw that. So, brethren, I think I'll stop here for today, and we will continue verse 26 to 30, hopefully to the end, next Sabbath. But again, we see here from verse 15 that we need to prepare ourselves for whatever we are doing for Elohim. We must not do things in a way where we're setting ourselves up for failure or unnecessary difficulties. We must make things as I always use the word convenient, as proper as possible, so we can do what we need to do in our personal lives, as especially for the ministry. Then we saw that we need to be in environments that are conducive to our faith, conducive to what we need to achieve for Elohim, that are conducive for our lives, that how Paul, they took him into the house of a seasoned or a senior disciple. And by way, to let me digress here to say, if you notice that the believers were called disciples, you know, by as far as your, what's your individual name? You're a disciple. You're a disciple. There's a part that says you're a disciple of Elohim. There's a verse, I don't remember where, says you're a disciple of Elohim. You're just his disciples. He's teaching us, right? So we are his disciples. We're disciples of Messiah. So we are individual disciples, collective body of Messiah, collective congregation of Elohim, Ecclesias Theos. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be receptive of each other, not judgmental, not prejudiced. Even in times of, remember, this was a time where there were some sort of confusion about what was going on with Paul. But it says in verse 19, when he had greeted them, verse 17 says, and when they came to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Despite the possible misunderstanding, they gathered to unite. And this is why what I said, whenever there's an assembly, we don't need to agree on everything to assemble. Rather, let's obey the Torah that says to assemble. When we keep the Torah that says the instruction to assemble in the name and in the faith, hope, and love of Elohim and for each other, then the Spirit will purify us to unify our understanding as we see happened here. Between Paul, who was falsely accused of turning the Jews from obeying the law of Moses, the instruction given through Moses was false. But rather than dividing, rather than distancing themselves, no, they assembled, and then what? The Spirit of Truth united them. And so we see. So you see the whole process. we get together, we give our testimonies, people listen, they give their response, they share concerns, as the brethren, the elders did. They said, you know, we have a problem. You know, Paul, we're hearing this about you. But they already knew. Notice their confidence. They didn't question Paul. Do you notice they didn't question Paul? The brethren by the Spirit knew who Paul was. They knew who he was. Because they knew only one who is obedient could have the works of the Spirit working in them. So they didn't question Paul, but they told Paul what to do to convince, to let the general assembly understand. Okay, so we saw that. So and so we see the two groups of the congregation of Elohim. The Israelites, commonly known as the Jews, not necessarily what we see today, but biblically speaking, the Israelites and Jews are synonymous, especially in New Testament time. And the nations, all together, those who are righteous, who are being called into the body of Messiah, comprise the congregation of Elohim. So I stop here and share, when the time of sharing comes, please share what you want to share concerning this or any other matter. Thank you, brethren, for listening.